Hello, everyone, and welcome to the GGW9 final recording. Dun, dun, dun. PK has opted to do her own recording for this, which I will grab at some point. In the meantime, I have VOC's wonderful, wonderful giant Word file along with my own. So here we go. I'm going to start off with, obviously my caffeine source. And hit up VOC's comments first, because it's just beautiful. Dear contestants, these entries were fucking terrible on a scale of terrible to terrible. I was very disappointed with both of these entries in terms of their editing processes, or should I say, lack thereof. I don't know what the other judges scored you guys yet, but according to my scores, neither of these stories were finals worthy. You were given extra time to perfect your work, and you both fell short of miraculous. I wish you guys had utilized Wing's deadline generosity, because both of these stories could have used it. With as much ranting as I've done, I can only imagine how much Wing ranting we're going to hear. I'm about to get some fucking popcorn and a Coke, because Coke will always be better than Pepsi, and damn right that's the way it works in Wing's mind. That being said, let's go to Frosted. Your usage of dialogue tags is rather obvious. There was one instance in particular at the end of the story that made me roll my eyes. When her father asks, "Who would believe me?" he's clearly questioning Satan, thus rendering the dialogue tag utterly useless. We can tell he's questioning Satan by the fact that Satan talks directly beforehand, and the daughter isn't mentioned in between vocalizations. The best way to write conversation is to eliminate as many of the dialogue tags as possible by using stronger verbs, i.e. giving the character an action before or after their dialogue to let the reader know who is speaking, and colorful adjectives. There are a lot of adverbs in this. I didn't spend two or three recordings ranting about these for nothing. It's not just a personal preference that causes my distaste for them. They're not as descriptive as strong adjectives paired with strong verbs. Instead of telling me what someone does, show me what they do. This also plays into the rant I just gave about your dialogue tags, because most of them, if not all of them, contained adverbs instead of descriptive words that actually paint a picture. If you neglect to paint the proper image in your reader's mind, all you're presenting them is words. Words don't mean anything without the depth. The way you do the father's internal thoughts grates on my reader patience to no end. First of all, you have a narrative that would have lent itself rather well to simply having those thoughts flow through naturally, given that the whole story is from his perspective, and most of his thoughts were integrated into it anyway. I don't understand the awkward need to have spots where you insert a "he thought" tag. We know he's thinking, because he's the narrator of the story. The fact that it's written in third person doesn't change that. All third person does is give you an excuse to leave out his personality. I'll rant about that in a minute. First, I want to finish my inner thought dialogue rant. If you need to make a few thoughts stand out from the rest of the narrative, I recommend italics without the random fucking quotes. It would have made the formatting of the piece look much nicer and more professional. It would have also helped to better differentiate his important inner thoughts from regular narrative thoughts. Also from the spoken dialogue and the instances where he was quoting the wife. Neither the father nor the daughter stand off the page in any way at all. You didn't give them enough mannerisms to make them actual people. Third person doesn't give one the excuse to leave out a character's personality. On top of that, I think the father should have had much more reaction to Stan. This goes back to eliminating adverbs like laughing hysterically and replacing them with some tangible image of how he's laughing instead. What does he do while laughing hysterically that makes him stand out as an individual? Even though the father is technically the narrator, I feel like the little girl is really your centerpiece character, but as far as I can tell, the only thing about her that Satan comes to are tea parties. Okay, that makes her interesting, but what little tidbit only goes so far? Why is this little girl so special that Satan comes to her tea parties? Are the cucumber sandwiches really that good? If they are, then great, but that doesn't provide a good enough plotline to make this an actual story. As it stands, I'm very disappointed by the fact that this was rather anticlimactic, especially at the end. I mean, it was cute, and I giggled inside imagining the devil in such a setting. Also at the fact that the little girl called him Stan. But without an actual plotline, you don't really have squat. Not one interesting thing happens in this entire piece. I feel like the bit about the mother and the child psychology books in the beginning opened the door for a whole lot of awesomeness in terms of delving into the intricacies of a dysfunctional family unit. But you shoved the door closed on that so fast that you chopped off the head of the beautiful goldmine of flaws, as if it were a zombie chasing you and you were weaponless against it. Always paint the most detailed and most accurate images of your characters as you can. Things can always be cut later. While you incorporated all the pieces of the prompt, I'm not sure the elements blended together as well as they could. The only mention of pandas was a tiny little sentence in which the daughter confesses to the father that Satan told her he makes pandas when he wasn't with her. I was hoping this would be elaborated on because it seemed cool, but it was also rather random without any additions. The concept wasn't solid enough to make it stick to the prose by itself. It was so flimsy that you could have left that bit out and the story would have still functioned. The devil himself was only just barely tethered to the piece. Since you didn't provide an actual plotline, he could have been replaced with just about any scary imaginary friend, and it wouldn't have made any difference at all to this. Background information is important. Misha, from VOC. I need, my Coke after that. I really recommend you investing some time in any sort of thesaurus-type reference place, either as you're writing or during your editing process. I find it easier to keep the thesaurus open as I write, because that way I can catch the I can catch the repetition of words more easily and fix the problems right away. Then I can forget later. It's harder to spot the similar words after the fact. There are multiple instances in this piece where varying your vocabulary and examining synonyms to words you use will give your writing a new depth and layer of meaning. Look at any example in my line by line. I would like to strangle you with a comma, but there are so many commas missing from this piece that I don't have enough to make a noose. I've had to point out so many missed commas in this that the BBC code is stuck in my head like a terrible mantra, and I'm now writing it without thought. I'm seriously stuck on comma BBC code autopilot. Color equals red, comma color, insert brackets and slashes accordingly as I type. The amount of times you refer to Lucifer eating his lunch really grates on my patience. There are so many more interesting things you could have tried to insert in this piece. I talked a little bit about this in the line by line and gave a couple of examples of other ways you could carry action through the dialogue. You really need to work on character mannerisms. The little things they do during conversations, not just their actions, but their facial expressions and the undertones in their voice, are what make them believable. You gave us semi-adequate physical descriptions of the devil, which I enjoyed, but I feel like there could have been even more detail about his personality. There could have also been more detail in general, general throughout the entire piece. There is a lot to be desired in terms of imagery. I feel like this story gave you the opportunity to create your very own version of hell, and it falls short in any and all expectations. You could have painted these characters onto a grandiose canvas, but you barely even detail the characters themselves, let alone their surroundings. I was so disappointed in the lack of imagination I saw here, given what I've come to find you capable of accomplishing. I was impressed by your presentation of the prompt. I think you did a very good job integrating each component into the story in a way that makes the story lose something if any of those pieces were to be removed. Oh, there we go. It finally connected in my head. If you took shit out, the story would break. Congratulations, you integrated the prompt. Back to VOC's words. Take away the picnic and there's no setting. Take away Satan and hell falls apart. Take away the panda or the plushies and you lose the man being punished. And the punishment itself falls apart without his identity. I still think some of the pieces could have used a bit more oomph, though. If you fine-tune this piece with your thesaurus and added a hell of a lot more background detail and character descriptions, this story would be on fire. Yes, I was being punny on purpose. I wish I could grade this based on potential and not current presentation, but I cannot. Although the danger of the thesaurus, swing aside, is you don't want to be too purpley. I prefer a nice lavender. But with that being said, I'm going to go to my warm file, because why the fuck not? Frosted! Yes. Frosted. That's where we're going to begin. Major quotation punctuation mark issues in this one that I assume VOC and PK will burn you for. My biggest issue here, though, is just entertainment. This was bland. Like, there is this attempt at humor here, but nothing brings me into a chuckle. The "who would believe me" line came close, but it just feels empty. It feels like this prompt really brought about much confusion and a lackluster finale. I'm also not all that down with the prompt execution here. None of these things seem relevant to the plot, except for Satan, because Satan's the focus of everything else. But it's just incidental. I think you could have done a lot better job at weaving the plot elements together in this one. And it's pretty much like VOC said. You could flick away components of the prompt, and everything would go on without giving a shit. And that's a huge problem when you're actually writing a prompt. Moving on down to the magic that is Misha. Typos here as well, and I'm extremely miffed that neither of you seem to edit well at all in this round. This is the fucking final of the longest continuously running contest in the history of this site. This is the summer spectacular event. We're going back into school. Fall is coming. Halloween. My birthday begins in 6 minutes. All of that shit is happening. This is it. This is the moment to shine. And frankly, the two of you have been doing it. You know, like, holy shit. And then, fuck. It happens again. Just shit. You gotta edit. Like, it has to happen. It's so frustrating when I don't. But one thing, back to Misha specifically, that I will give you credit for, is that I just think you straight up nailed the prompt. I was kind of with VOC on this one. Like, wouldn't it be grand if you could judge by potential and not where it sits today? Because I think you took the prompt and you actually worked with it. And that's huge. Now, You centralized things. Things were great. The picnic, though, kind of felt a bit off on its own. But that, all in all, each element of the plot or the prompt you integrated, I feel like VOC is correct. If you took away a component of that prompt, your story would break and everyone would say, what the fuck? So congratulations, you took my shit and made something. And now I'm going to take another sip of my Coke. So here's my shit for the both of you. This is now reflection time. Because I'll be really blunt. For a final round, this was pretty atrocious. Like, this was a train wreck. I'm not exaggerating. I'll just put it like this. The scores were around 4, okay? 4 out of 15. That's not good. That's not good at all. And I know with 3 judges, right, the scores kind of drop a little bit relative to where they would be if it were just me. Because there's always one of us that hates it, right? Like, that's usually how it works. But I feel like more effort could have been put in to developing the prompt, editing the story. It's extremely frustrating for me, sitting here at the moment where I'm about to declare someone a champion, right? Someone's gonna be declared a champion. And this was not championship material. The two of you, both of you, had great pieces throughout the summer. I mean, especially near the end, Frosted, you just went on a tear, like a fucking tear, with some of these pieces in the final qualifiers and into the playoffs. And then it's just missing in this one. You know, Misha, we've been hounding on you for, like, the entire contest about editing skill, but the fact of the matter is that I think, overall, entertainment-wise, you've always had it, right? Like, that's been your core strength throughout this, and once you develop that stylistic grammar element, you're just gonna wreck people. Like, it's gonna be amazing. So, I just don't know what happened here. I'm kind of at a loss. I feel like, with Frosted, I know you're capable of so much better than what you gave me in this round. Like, so much better. And you've blown people away with it before. You've won a Prism last year. You've already won the Prism this year because you blew everyone away in terms of total points. So that's done. So I'm just a little bit surprised in a final to see your momentum essentially completely vanish. Either way, I'm going to step back. Regardless, improve. Always improve. I think that was the one thing from this summer that was missing from other summers. People just seem complacent to submit whatever. The one thing that I've really liked is looking over the course of the contest and saying, this person is the most improved. This person came in and had, like, a bottom score. And, like, you know, Maki is the perfect example of this from years ago. I mean, I still remember this from years ago. She came in and her fourth score was like a 3 or something fucking ridiculous like that. And by the end of that contest, she was routinely banking 12s and 13s. You know, it's all about stepping up and improving your game. And that element to me was completely fucking missing from this particular contest. And that makes me sad. Because it's always been that improvement that's what makes me keep going. You know, when I started this contest, I was an undergrad. You know, I was in college. And now I'm applying for professor positions. Like, I've been at this a really long time. So it kind of sucks that now I have to sit here and go, like, this is the first year that I'm like, no one really blew me away in terms of improvement. And I think everyone should step back and think about it. As we go forward and keep the contest going, remember, improving is always the core goal. But I've kept you waiting long enough, and my birthday is technically coming in now. Ha! Fun times. So now that it's happened, I'm going to announce who won this shit. By the slimmest of margins, and I mean the slimmest of margins, your GGW9 champion is Misha. Congratulations! And that being said, I'm rolling the hell out of here because it's birthday time. Get the hell off my audio file, you goddamn hippies.